On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he gave him thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me. This is my body, broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me." On the night he was betrayed, he took the wine. Upon giving thanks, he sipped it and said, "This is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me. This is my blood for you. And as you drink it, remember me." Jesus took a towel girded himself. He poured water and began to wash the feet. "This is my body, broken for you. And as you did it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me." If the Lord and Master washes your feet, ye also should do as I've done to you. If I wash thee, thou hast part with me. So ought to wash one another's feet. This is my body poured out for you. And as you eat it, remember me. This is my body broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death till he comes. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord. Lord, death till he came. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord, death till he came. This is my body, broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me. This is my blood, poured out for you. And as you drink it,
it came from God. So that's what God wanted to tell us today. It's good to sing songs inspired by God. I'm not encouraging that because I like writing songs, but it's good. You know, we get our own inspiration as well. God bless Sister Lillian. Bless that gift she has. Let's sing that song. There was a song I want to sing here. You ask me why I'm happy, so I just tell you why. Amen. You ask me why I'm happy, so I just tell you why. Because my sins are gone, and when I meet those converts who ask me without it, I say my sins are without it. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Was at the old time altar, the thunder through my heart. Yet now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil took it back. I'm glad my sins are gone. Where are they tonight? They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. It's far removed. Calvary is far removed, the darkness is for no.
Hallelujah, let's praise Him.
Praise God.
Aren't you glad tonight? Let's praise God.
Praise God, my sins are.
Let's praise Him one more time.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Hallelujah, let's praise Him. Amen, let's give Him a shout tonight. Hallelujah, our sins are gone. Amen. Amen. Christ the Redeemer died on the cross. What happened in Egypt is happening tonight. He sees the blood, He's passing over us. Amen. We've come to make our wrongs right, our lives right, and we'll partake of His body. And we're saying we want to carry on. We're going through. Let's sing that song.
Christ my Redeemer died on the
cross. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing with conviction.
For the same day, Lord, your soul with the God of the living above. We'll pass over.
Let the Lamb pass tonight. Hallelujah. Apply the blood tonight.
When I see the
blood, oh, the blood, the blood.
When I see the blood, oh,
be clean, Lord, tonight,
and I'll pass.
God bless you, Brother Timmy. Good to see you, Brian. Burgess and his family, God bless you, saints, who are back in action. Brother Wilmo as well. Let's remember these prayer requests. Were they read? No, Brian? No. Brother Vladdy's phoned me the other day about this as well. Tabitha is undergoing an operation for adenoids. I think it's what, like her tonsils. 8th of August in Slovakia. So asking for prayer. Also, Sister Scheider's not well. Let's remember she wasn't able to make it. And Sister Lydia's asking for prayer for a family member, Milanko, who's seriously ill. He's 6 years old. Let's put this before the Lord. Father, how wonderful that we can approach unto you. How wonderful, Lord, that we can come. No matter the pressure, we can let off the pressure. Father, Amen. No matter the circumstances, we have hope. Yes, Lord. Because of who you are and because of your promises unto us and because of your faithfulness.
Yes.
So, Father, we bring each of these petitions up unto thee upon this day.
Amen.
Father, for Tabitha, Lord, we pray that you'd bless. We pray that you'd intervene and undertake, Lord, for this child Milanko, Lord. Father, we bring this child up unto you upon this evening. We ask of thee to move. We ask of thee to glorify thy name. Father, we bring even our sister Scheider upon this evening, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with her, that you'd quicken her, Lord, in her faith, that you'd quicken her inside of her soul, that you'd break the fetters and the bonds of the enemy, Lord, that she may worship thee, we pray. And Father, as you open up your word, grant us grace upon this night as we approach this communion service.
Amen.
We want to commune with you. So Father, bless this service. Bless your people.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3.
Amen.
Let's get a communion thought from there. Let's read the first 6 verses, Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great thing, great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. If you had to take a thought from this, let's think about communion at the burning bush. Because there's something really important about communion at the burning bush. Just when I was at work, coming, trying to get home from work, there was an accident on the motorway and a lady was killed. A bus smashed into her car. So they closed in time motorway. So I really got home just in time to get here. So you know, sometimes when you haven't put the quotes in the way that you want, so just pray for me that things will really go the way you want, because it's a real important topic. No, communion at the burning bush. Now, there's two different types of communion that you can have with the Lord and with one another. One of them is communion in the mind. That does no good. Now, when people fellowship from the mind, from the realm of the spirit, it never ever achieves anything. Because real communion is soul communion. It's the communion of the soul. Because the questions we have, the burdens we have, the deep that's within us is in the soul. You know, so you sitting there today, me standing here today, each and every one of us are in certain places where there's decisions before us or things we don't understand or questions that we have. Just like Moses had in this scripture that we saw. Now think of how Moses was before he met the burning bush. Now, he had been called when he was young. You know, he knew the hand of the Lord was on his life. He knew he had had this strange birth. He knew that God had protected him in the Nile, had delivered him into Pharaoh's palace. He knew that the Lord had ministered grace unto him through Pharaoh's daughter. Now, he knew all of these things. He knew so much that the Lord had done. He had heard the great testimonies which his mother would tell him about, you know, how much God had raised him up to be a deliverer. There were so many things, but then things just seemed to go wrong. No, there just comes this time and Moses decides he's going to go and reveal himself to his brethren. And he thinks that his brethren are going to understand, but they don't understand. You know, and so then he kills this Egyptian, and this Egyptian, he hides him in the sand. And, you know, his brothers say to him, but who made you a ruler over us? Yeah, and he flees and he goes to the backside of the desert and he's there for 40 years. Now you can think of the thoughts that were going through Moses' mind. You can imagine the deep that was inside of this man. As he was there just with Jethro's sheep and he was going backwards and forwards each day and going back to his tent. And here was his wife and here was his children. Imagine the deep questions he had inside of himself. No, the thoughts to say, but you know, where did it all go wrong? Or, you know, how could these things not have worked the way that I thought? You know, imagine the questions he used to ask himself while he was out there. Imagine how much you would think about God and how much you think, but what does God think about me now? Now, how does God look at me now? You yet have all these uncertainties and all these concerns. Maybe you'd have like these fears to say, you know, I think I missed my opportunity. I think I failed God. Maybe God turned his back on me. You know, think if you were Moses in the backside of the desert, having turned your back on the sufferings of the people, the groanings of the people. You know, those must have been the things. So there was a deep inside of the soul of Moses. And maybe he tried to speak with Jethro, maybe he tried to speak with other people about these things, but nobody else could come and answer the deep that was in him. Nobody else, up to where he was at this time, no matter who he spoke to, maybe he tried to explain it to his wife, maybe he tried to speak about those things. But these were things, this was sacred sands inside of this. This was something so personal, just like each and every one of us have. We have these real sacred sands inside of our hearts where that there's this real sacred place. And sometimes we've got these questions. We're wondering about the future. We wonder, what does God want of me? Now, what's the next thing that I'm supposed to do? You know? And you're thinking of the past. And you have your regrets of certain things in the past. But you can think of, you know, God's faithfulness and his promises in the past. And you find yourself in those kind of situations. You know, Moses didn't need somebody to come and give him opinions at that time. Now, he didn't need to sit with somebody and somebody would come and say, oh, no, no, and give him some light thing just from, you know, off the top of the head. That wasn't going to minister the oil and the wine within the veil that this man needed. Now, there was a certain type of communion that he needed to get this man to the next stage of his calling with the Lord. Now, to take him from where he was to where God really wanted him to be, it was going to take something beyond just natural fellowship. You know, or just sitting down and reasoning and seeking an understanding from the experiences of other people. Because, you know, God deals with us and he calls each and every one of us in such a personal way. You know, that I can't take the way God deals with me and try to transfer it into your experience. And you can't take the way the Lord has been dealing with you and then try to transfer it in my experience. We can learn, yes, from the principles that people go through. But, you know, Moses had come to that place that he needed something. And what he needed was in the burning bush. Yes. Amen. That's what the prophet says. He says, what Amen. Moses lacked, the burning bush had. Yes. You know, so he needed this communion. There was nothing else that could help Moses except for communion at the burning bush. You know, he didn't need the realm of the human spirit. He didn't need the realm of human reasoning. He didn't need the realm of human understanding. He needed the divine. He needed to get to a place to have communion with the one that had made him, to have communion with the one that had called him. And nothing else was going to help him. Nothing else was going to minister to the deep that was in him until he had this burning bush experience. He had to come to. You know, the prophet says it in the message at Kadesh Barnea. He says, now, when Moses had become of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. After that, he slew the Egyptian, but God was with him out in Midian and brought him back. And in the face of that burning bush that day, he received an experience that stayed with him as long as he lived. Amen. Now, the amazing thing, friends, because if you came from, like us, we came from Pentecost. And whenever you would think, like I've said once before, of the burning bush experience, now, we had think about, you know, when something happened supernatural and we spoke in tongues or something supernatural happened, you know, and that can be it. But that's not really what happened to Moses. Amen. Now, Moses, he saw this burning bush. The Lord attracted his attention. And he turned aside and he took off his shoes. And then God spoke to him.
Amen.
That was the burning bush experience. God personally spoke to this man. This man came into the presence of the Shekinah glory. And God made clear things that needed to be made clear. And God explained to him things that needed to be explained. And God answered, took out all the darkness from his mind, all the questions that he had. And God made clear who he was and who Moses was. He said, that was what the burning bush experience was. That's what changes a person. You know, that's why he says, in the face of that burning bush that day, he received an experience that stayed with him as long as he lived. He says, as I said last night, so I said again today, no matter how good Moses had been taught, how much theology he knew, that's all the realm of the human, yeah? How good a church member he was, or he had a good teacher, his mother, he was brought up under every precept that he could. He was the king's son. But still, in 5 minutes in the presence of the burning bush, he became a new person. Something happened. And friends, that's the great need of the believer. You know, because we'll see it with the prophet. You know, the prophet had a lot of different experiences, but this is something you need on a regular basis. Because questions start to accumulate. Misunderstandings start to accumulate. Decisions you need to make. The big decisions confront you and you're wondering, you know, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? What does the Lord want me to do? Friends, the only answer is communion at the burning bush. That's the only answer. There's nothing else that can help you at a time like that except for this personal communion like Moses had at the burning bush. Moses never shouted. He never jumped at that stage. You know, if you look at this experience that he had, it was something so sacred. It was something so personal, but it was something so real. Because God attracted him with the supernatural, then God spoke directly into his circumstances. God spoke directly to where this man was. And he was never the same. He could never be the same after that. This was a turning point in the life of Moses. This was something that he could always look back to. Because something changed at that time. Listen how the prophet preaches it in The Believer's Position in Christ, 1955. He's speaking about your position in Christ. And he says, God, in his great marvelous promises, they're just as unfailing, more so than the heavens and the earth is. Because the heavens and the earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. He says, God's word will never fail. But the main thing is, if we can find where God's word belongs in our lives. So he's saying God's word never fails. God knows his program. God knows his plans. God knows his thoughts towards you. God knows the call that he has for you. He knows everything you need, everything that needs to be revealed to you. He has it all. He never changes. But the prophet says, there's one thing we need to find. We know the message. We know the quotes. We know all these things. But how do these things apply personally to me? How do I take these things myself? I believe these things. I know these things are true. I've seen this. I've experienced that. Then you get to those stages to say, but how, what word applies to me? What is personal to me? I can't take what the Lord did with Brother Max or Brother Wilmore or Brother Ellie. I can't do that. That's their calling. That's their position in Christ. But I need somehow, there's got to be some way that I can know 100% with a surety what God's word is for me. And that is through the burning bush. There's no other way. That's what the burning bush is for. He says, if we can find where God's word belongs in our lives. Because God sets times, time limits, and it works all according to that time. Many before the coming of the Lord Jesus, many false things rose up saying, this is the Messiah. You see, the people could take the scriptures, but they never went to the burning bush to say, how do these scriptures apply? You know, and so then this one would rise up, Thudas, whatever his name was. Another one rose up called Judas. And, you know, they said and they led a whole lot of people astray. Why? They were taking truth, but it wasn't burning bush truth.
Yeah.
It wasn't truth that had been revealed to them by the burning bush. To say, this is your promise. This is for you to fulfill. This is where you, what, this is your portion. But what they would do, they would take the message of Moses, they would take different promises and things and then run with them. And then wonder why we lead a whole lot of people with us, and then it comes to nothing in the end.
Amen.
The problem is the burning bush.
Amen.
Friends, there's nothing as important as communion at the burning bush.
Amen.
Nothing else will take the place of this.
Amen.
This is the most important thing for a believer.
Amen.
When we come for communion, this is true communion.
Amen.
This is the communion every person needs.
Hallelujah.
Every single one of us, we need a fresh communion at the burning bush. Because that's what makes all the difference. The prophet says, people try to do it within themselves. They try to make God's word fit their program. But what you got to do is vice versa. You've got to fit in God's program. And how are you going to know how you fit in God's program until He personally comes and tells you?
Amen.
Moses didn't know how. He knew these vague promises. He knew the season had come. He knew he was supposed to be a deliverer. He knew all the quotes as his parents had told him. But for him to be able to take those things personally and find his time and his position and his place and know exactly what God wanted him to do with His word, it needed the burning bush. It needed a personal communion, a personal revelation that the same God that made him, the same God who ordained him, would be the same God that would come down in season and tell him, Moses, this is what I want you to do. And that's what made all the difference in the life of Moses. And that's what will make all the difference in our lives as well. You know, because we can know the vague things. The prophet says, Moses, knowing that God had made a promise that he was going to deliver the children of Israel, Moses, knowing that he was called for that purpose, says, now when you have a call from God, that doesn't altogether mean you jumped right out and you're doing the will of God. You see, we know that we were speaking about innocent about that the other day. Now to have a call, you know, there's far more than just having a call. You know, there's far more than having just a deep inside of you that you want to do something for the Lord. You know, that's what the prophet is saying there. It's not enough. He says you have to find the will of God and the time of God to do it. Moses thought, well, the children of Israel will understand. I'm to be their deliverer. So he starts out and he kills a man. The children of Israel did not understand. Then Moses lost all hope. All the power that he had, thinking that freedom's not for the children of Israel. He had lost all thoughts of freedom until he met God in the burning bush.
Amen.
And when God's season came along just exactly, then he revealed his plan to Moses.
Amen.
That made the difference. Then when God revealed himself to him in the burning bush, he found out then that the very thing that was in the burning bush was the thing that he lacked.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see what it was? It was in the burning bush. He says, and I think that's a whole lot with us today. Many times we try to do the programs ourselves and fail to get what was in the burning bush. Listen what he's going to tell us what was in the burning bush. The direct revelation of the will and the time of God. That was what was in the burning bush. Moses had all of the mechanics. He had everything else ready, but he didn't know the personal revealed will of God for his life.
Amen.
And he didn't know God's time for those things.
Amen.
And the prophet says, but that which Moses lacked, it was in the burning bush.
Amen.
God had equipped him. God had done everything, raised him up. But that was the only thing that was lacking in this man, was to come personally into the presence of the Shekinah. And for that Shekinah to speak to him, the direct revelation of God's will for him and the time for that to be fulfilled. That's all that he needed. Then the prophet says that. He says, what good would it do to plant some corn out here today? It'll rot. It was in the winter. He says, if it happened to sprout in the cold weather, it wouldn't work. We've got to have the season for it. So then Moses found out now the real direct will of God. And the time of God. And the revelation of everything to do. Now, tried to keep him out of Egypt.
Amen.
You couldn't keep that man out of Egypt now. Because he knew the time. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew how he was supposed to do it. He knew he had to throw down the stick. Put your hand in your bosom. Speak. The rivers will turn to blood. He knew exactly what he needed to do. Now he understood the shepherd's staff. Now he understood his past. Now he understood his upbringing. Now he understood why things had failed in the past. And now everything became clear. When he came to that presence of the burning bush. Now he could look back and say, now I understand. Now he could look forward and say, now I understand. Friends, it's so important at those kind of junctures in life to come back to fresh communion at the burning bush. So that you can get those fresh orders once again. The prophet says, right back to Egypt he went just as hard as he could. He knew the time was nigh. Now he had to have a direct contact with God to know how and when to do it. And that's what he found out at the burning bush. And then he continues on and he says his approach, how he approached it reverently, and God spoke. And then the prophet says, and we, when we approach God in the same manner, God will speak to us.
Amen.
That's a great promise, friends. Amen. That's a great thing which the Lord has done for us. Amen. Now let's bring it forward to our day. Let's think about communion at the burning bush. Let's think about this fellowship with the pillar of fire. Because the pillar of fire came down to Moses. You know, now let's think of the prophet in the cave. 1946, the prophet had many experiences. The prophet had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He had, you know, the angel had come down in 1933. The prophet had seen a lot of things, but the prophet came to that stage now inside of his life. People were telling him things. He was having these experiences. Things were happening inside of his life. He would try to go to the clergyman, try to explain the visions he's having and so forth. They would start to tell him it's the devil. And he started to get really confused about his calling. He didn't understand, but why do these things happen to me? Now, why am I different? Why am I strange the way that I am? Until it really became a crisis. And this is in the message, How the Angel Came to You, 1955. He says, all down through life, I saw that moving. Those visions, how those things would happen. It kept bothering me so much. Everybody telling me it was wrong. Can you see? There was a deep inside of the prophet. He had these spiritual things happening. He had these spiritual questions. He had these things about his ministry, about his calling. Try to understand. He couldn't understand these things. And when he would try now to fellowship with other people, you know, people that weren't in the same vision with him, the more they would say to him, the more confused he would become. Because, like I said, it's only soul communion that can make the difference. It's only when there's the Shekinah dwelling in the soul of a person. And that Shekinah can speak from that veil and speak to you. That's when it's going to start shedding some light and helping you to better understand. But when he was just going to these clergymen, they were answering according to their theology, according to their own little experiences, their own knowledge. And the more they spoke from the realm of human reasoning and human understanding, the less it satisfied the prophet. The deeper and deeper it put him on the ash heap that he didn't understand about his life. He didn't understand what all of these things meant. He says, it kept bothering me. So I took off to my old stomping grounds. Up there where I always pray through. Now that's a key there. No, he got to the stage where he knew, I can't just go and offer my normal prayer now. I prayed many times, but I haven't prayed through. I haven't got the answer to these most deep and perplexing questions in my life. Why is this happening in my life? Why am I not being healed of this? Why is this not happening? Why is that? You know, we have these kind of questions. The prophet says, so I went up to my stomping grounds where I always prayed through. Because he needed to pray through. He needed to break through into that realm where he could have a fellowship and a communion somehow with God who could come and shine light into this situation. And friends, he got to the stage, he couldn't go any further until that happened inside of his life. Have you ever felt like that in your life? You get to those stages, you need God to reveal to you. What's the next thing? Or what does he want you to do? Or what does God expect of you? Friends, don't ever accept anybody else's opinion at a time like that. No matter how sincere they are. You need to hear from the burning bush. Because what you're lacking at that time, it's found in the burning bush.
Amen.
That's the only deep that's going to be able to minister to that deep that's inside of you. Because God has allowed that deep inside of you. God has allowed those circumstances. God's allowed you to come to that situation so that you'll seek Him in this kind of a way. Because it's a junction. He's trying to move you on. He wants to reveal, but He's got to get you to a certain seeking, a certain depth, a certain sincerity, that those things are more important than anything else inside of your life. That you're prepared to go to your stomping grounds and pray through to try to find, but what is God? What is God thinking about my life? How does God see me at this time? That's what the prophet needed to know. And he didn't know it. Though he had, you know, seen visions, he had perfect love, spoke to the bulls, spoke to the hornets, though he had all these experiences in the 1930s, yeah? But he gets to this stage now. This most important stage inside of his life. And God brings him to a time that he's perplexed. God brings him to a time that he's troubled. God brings him to a time that no matter how he goes to speak to people, nobody can bring oil and wine into that sacred place.
Amen.
No one can minister satisfaction within the veil. Because it's only the deep in him that can minister to the deep in you.
Amen.
Don't accept anything else. Don't accept it. It's never going to do the job. So, prophet says, no matter how much I keep praying for that not to come to me, those visions, it would come anyhow. Imagine, he was looking inside of his life at these things that were taking place. And he was praying against it. Imagine how much you can misunderstand God's work inside of your life. The prophet was praying to say, God, take these things away from me. He says, and the more I pray, the more it would happen. It's not easy, friends. That's not an easy situation. He says, I was a game warden in the state of Indiana. And there was a man sitting there. He came home from his work. And he says, this man met me at my house and said, Billy, will you ride up to Madison with me this afternoon? I said, I can't do it. I've got to go up to the forestry. And I came around the house, taking off my belt. Rolling up my sleeves. We lived in a little two-roomed house. I was going to wash and make ready for my meal. And just walking around the side of the house, under a big maple tree, all at once something went pew, pew, pew. And I almost passed out. And I looked, and I knew, it's that again.
Hallelujah.
And he didn't understand what that was. He didn't understand why these things were happening inside of his life. And I sat down on the steps, and he jumped out of his car, and he ran to me. He says, Billy, are you fainting? I said, no, sir. He said, what's the matter, Billy? I said, I don't know. Go ahead, brother. Right, thank you. And my wife came out with a pitcher of water. She said, what's the matter? I said, nothing. She said, come on now, dinner's ready. And she put her arm around me. And I said, I can't go on like this.
Amen.
I'm a prisoner. Amen. All the time when this thing keeps happening, these trances, whatever it is, it happens to me. I didn't know it was a vision. I said, them trances like, I don't know what that is. And honey, I don't want to fool with it. They tell me it's the devil. And I love the Lord Jesus. And she said, Billy, you oughtn't to listen to what people tell you. He said, it was good, her advice. But he needed something deeper than that. You know, she wasn't looking at it in such a depth that he was. To him, this was a deep thing to him. This was something so troubling him. This was something that he so much needed an answer from the Lord. Yeah, but she wasn't in that situation. So she couldn't really understand what he was doing. She just said the best she could. Don't listen to what people say. Is that easy? When you're a Baptist minister like he was, and all the other Baptist ministers are telling, that's the devil. Those things stopped a long time ago. The only time you see those things is among the spiritualists. It wasn't easy for him. And I said, but honey, look at other preachers. You see how we start getting at that kind of our, those crises in life. We start looking at other people and say, but he doesn't have these things in his life. He doesn't have these problems. He doesn't have confusion like this. No, he doesn't have the burden that I'm going through. Why? I want to be like him. And the prophet says, look at the other preachers. He says, I don't want it. I'm going to my place in the woods. I've got about $15. You take care of Billy. Call them up and tell them, I may be back tomorrow. I may not never be back. If I ain't back in the next 5 days, put a man in my place. Because Mita, I'll never come out of those woods until God promises me. He'll take that thing away from me. Why? Can you see, friends? How much we lack. And the answer to that lack is in the burning bush. Because God knew exactly what he was going through. God knew exactly, and to the prophet, everything was going wrong. That this wasn't the way that it's supposed to be. And he started to look at other people and start to envy other people. The prophet says, think of the ignorance that a man can be. My, what did the prophet need here? He needed a fresh experience at the burning bush. He needed that same angel that came down to Moses and made things clear to Moses at that junction in his life. He needed that same angel to come to him. That was the answer. And friends, you need the same angel to come to you. And I need the same angel to come to me. He may not speak in a vision like he did to the prophets, but you know his voice. You know how he speaks to you. But he needed spiritual things to be made clear. No, he needed something to come and take all these disjointed things that he had been through, that had happened in his life. He needed something to come and put it all together for him. And he couldn't go on. He couldn't fulfill what he was supposed to fulfill until that happened. That's what the burning bush experience was going to do. So he says, I went up there at night, the little old log cabin. I was going up to my camp the next day, further up in the mountains. He says, I don't believe the FBI could find me up there. And I was just waiting there. Well, towards 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I was walking up and down the floor, walking back and forth. I sat down in this little box of a thing and I thought, oh God, why do you do this to me? Why? Do you see how we get? We get to those stages, we think, what is God doing to me? Why is God allowing this? Why is this happening? And we start thinking everything's going wrong. Amen. We start thinking it's out of character. We start thinking it's the devil. We start attributing it. Other people through their human reasoning, and as they feed into that inside of our lives. And none of that is the truth. Amen. The only truth is what the burning bush says to you. Amen. Nothing else is the truth. Amen. The only truth is what he says to you. Amen. That's the truth. I said, why, God, do you do this to me? I said, Father, you know that I love you. And I don't want to be possessed with the devil. I don't want them things to happen to me. Please, God, don't never let it happen no more. The very thing he was raised up for. The very thing God had predestined him to be. He was praying against that very thing. He says, no, I love you. And he's continuing. And I sat down. Kind of in this kind of a position, and all at once, I saw a light flicker in the room. I thought somebody was coming with a flashlight. And I looked around, and well, here it was right out in front of me. Old wooden boards on the floor, and a light on the floor. And I looked around, and here it was above me. This very same light, right there above me, hanging right like that, circling around like a fire, kind of an emerald color, going. Ah, friends, he's going to have communion at the burning bush. The same one who came to Moses in the burning bush is coming to him. It's his the right junction in time. It's exactly God's season, exactly God's time for his purpose to be fulfilled. And I saw the foot of a man coming in. Moses never saw the man. He just saw the burning bush. But to the prophet, the man stepped out of the burning bush. Stepped out of the fire. And that's how the prophet says, there's a man here that can turn on the light. Because there's darkness, there's shadows, there's all these things in the prophet's life. He needs this man to come and turn on the light. Ah, friends, we need that. Because there's a man that can turn on the light.
Amen.
And when he came into the room, walking on up, about 200 pounds. Well, I'd seen it in a whirlwind. I'd heard it talk to me. And I saw it in the form of a light. But that's the first time I ever saw the image of it. It walked up to me real close.
Amen.
Friends, close communion.
Hallelujah.
You know, real close. Friends, that would be so wonderful tonight.
Amen.
If inside of your soul, he could come real close.
Amen.
You know, if there could be a close communion, that kind of a communion. And I was sitting there looking at him. I kind of had my hand up like that. And he was looking right at me just as pleasant. You see, sometimes the things that we fear, they're not things that we should fear. Because the prophet was fearing. And then when he looked at this man, he said, oh, he's so pleasant. And he had a real deep voice.
Hallelujah.
And he said, do not fear. I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God. And when he spoke that voice, that was the same voice that spoke to me when I was 2 years old. Ah, friends,
Amen.
When he speaks to you, it's not a new voice.
Amen.
When he comes to make things clear, you already know that voice.
Amen.
You already know that voice.
Amen.
But now he needs to make it more clear. He needs to allow the image to be clearer to you so he comes in a greater way. But it's the same voice. And then when he speaks to you once again in your situation, but oh, this is the same voice that spoke to me. It's the same voice, friends. It's the same one. You know, when they made the film Ten Commandments with that Cecil DeMille, it's interesting if you go and watch they have like a little documentary on the DVD about how they made it. And they speak to Charlton Heston, who was Moses. And they said they tried all these different people to be the voice of God. And in the end they said, Charlton Heston, why don't you be the voice of God? And he says, and I said to them, that's true. Because when God speaks to you, it's like in your own voice.
Amen.
He says, so the same one who was Moses spoke also for God. Because that's how you hear his voice. You see, if you understand. And I said, that's true. It was the same voice. He says, and I knew that it was him. He says, now listen to this conversation. And he said, do not fear.
Amen.
Just as quiet. I'm sent from the presence of God to tell you that you're peculiar birth.
Hallelujah.
Friends, he had never understood his birth before.
Amen.
But when you come to communion at the burning bush, everything becomes clear.
Amen.
All of a sudden, the things that you've been through, the things that you could never piece together in the past, now they become clear. That's the first thing that he's going to do. He's going to explain his past to him. He says, your peculiar birth. He says, you know what my birth was up there? That same light hang over me when I was first born. Your peculiar birth and your misunderstood life.
Yes, sir.
From that day, it wasn't misunderstood anymore.
Amen.
Up to then, how many years that it was? From 1909 to 1946, 37 years. The prophet misunderstood his life. But when he had communion with the burning bush, there was no more misunderstanding after that. Ah, friends, there's things you don't understand about your life. There's things you don't understand about God's dealings with you. There's things you don't understand about God's call and purpose for your life. Go to the burning bush. Because all that you lack is in the burning bush. And like the prophet, he'll come and explain to you your misunderstood life. He'll start to make it clear. You'll misunderstand. Why did I have to lose my job? Why did I have to end up in the camp like the brothers there? Yeah. Why am I sick? Why did this happen? Why did this happen in my marriage? Why did this person die? Ah, friends, those are those deep questions that sometimes they trouble us. You'll never find the answer except at the burning bush.
Amen.
At the burning bush, he comes and he explains all the things that are misunderstood.
Amen.
And he came and explained. He says, your misunderstood life has been to indicate that you're going to go throughout the world and pray for sick people. You see, friends, in the presence of that great light, there's no darkness anymore.
Amen.
In the presence of that great light, that great jigsaw puzzle of your life, it starts fitting together. All of these things which seemed unrelated, he brings them together and you start seeing the masterpiece that God has been making. That's what the prophet started to see. He says, and I seen then He wasn't my enemy. He was my friend. Ah, friends. When you're not having soul communion, you know, when there's no fellowship and communion in your soul, you know what ends up happening? Your spirit starts kicking in. Which is your reasoning, your understanding, your memories, and other people, and their voices start to kick in. So you can end up thinking that God is your enemy. You can end up thinking that you've displeased God. You can end up thinking, like Moses did surely at that time, that I think God has forsaken me. Yeah, my chance has gone. My time has gone by. Now I'm an 80-year-old man. What good is it going to do me now? But when he came into the presence of that burning bush, friends, he started to see that all of those thoughts weren't true. There was no truth to any of the suspicions that he had. There was no truth to any of those concerns that he had. When he came in and the burning bush spoke personally to him, he saw that, no, he's not my enemy, he's my friend. This that I've been fighting against, it's nothing that I should have been fighting against. Because God is not contending with me. He says, I didn't know whether I was dying or what was happening when he was coming to me like that. What did I know about these things, healing and gifts and so forth? So I said, sir, I'm a poor man. I live among a people who's poor. I'm uneducated. They'll not understand me. They won't hear me. And he said, as the prophet Moses was given two gifts. See, it's changing from the past now. Now he's going to show him the future. Same like Moses. He's going to show him, this is how you do the job. This is what you call for. And I'm ministering these things into experience. Now he saw us, but oh, this is what he wants me to do. And this is how he wants me to do it.
Hallelujah.
Says, as the prophet Moses was given two gifts, two signs, rather, to vindicate his ministry, you will be given two to vindicate your ministry. One of them, you'll take the person you're praying by the hand. Your left hand and their right. Stand quiet. There'll be a physical effect happen on your body. Pray. If it leaves, the disease is gone. If it doesn't leave, ask a blessing and walk away. I said, sir, I'm afraid they won't receive me. He said, and the next thing, that's how the Lord deals with us, you see. Sometimes when you say some silly things, he just doesn't pay attention. He says, this is the first gift. He said, but they're not going to receive me. No, no, the next thing is this. He says, and the next thing will be, if they won't hear that, then they'll hear this. It'll come to pass, you'll know the very secret of the hearts. This they will hear. Oh, this they will hear. And I said, sir, that's why I'm here tonight. I've been told by my clergyman that those things that have been coming to me was wrong. He says, you were born in this world for this purpose.
Amen.
What could be a greater revelation to a person? Imagine you get to the burning bush today. You have your burning bush experience and he says, Junior, you were born in this world for this purpose. Do you think you're going to worry about what people say after that? You think you're going to worry when challenges come and problems come? When the burning bush himself has told you your purpose. That's why the prophet says everybody needs a burning bush experience. You need a burning bush experience. Otherwise, there's too many questions. And when the challenge comes, you start to wonder, but maybe God doesn't want me to do this. Maybe I'm not supposed to be. Maybe I'm supposed to be living in England. Maybe I'm supposed to be. No, no, you don't want that. You don't want to stay in that valley of decision. Because in the valley of decision, the longer that you stay there, the more your human reasoning kicks in. The more the realm of the spirit starts to minister to you. And if you're not careful, you'll get yourself right out of the will of God. So the best thing is suspend everything. Call a halt to all your thought processes. And say, I'm going to my stomping grounds. And I'm going to pray through. I need to know there's a man who can turn on the light. I need communion with the man who can turn on the light. I can't dispel the darkness. I can't dispel the confusion, the misunderstanding inside of my own life. It's only he that can turn on the light. And in the presence of that great light, everything became clear. And the prophet says, he said, you were born in this world for this purpose. He said, and I said, well, sir, the clergyman told me it was an evil spirit. That's why I'm here praying. And here's what he quoted to me. Now he starts to quote the word. Now to the prophet, the Bible became a new book. Because he started to show him the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How the clergy would say, you Beelzebub. Yeah. But the people possessed of the devil would say, thou son of God.
Yeah.
Oh, then the prophet started to say, but my, it's in the Bible.
Amen.
It was always there, but it needed communion at the burning bush.
Amen.
For him to be able to take your circumstances and put it in the word.
Amen.
And then you see, but oh, nothing's out of place here. Nothing's going wrong. It's perfectly on schedule. Everything's working just right. That's what the burning bush did to him. And that's what he quoted to me. He related to me the coming of the Lord Jesus in his first time. The strange thing was, friends, I'll stop here just a minute to go back. What made me more scared than ever? Can you see the prophet was going through fear? He was scared of those experiences. There were things in his life he was scared of. When he'd have those visions and people would say it was the devil. This is the thing that scared me more than ever. Every time I met a fortune teller, they would recognize something had happened. Ha! For example, one day my cousins and I going through the carnival grounds, just boys walking along. Little old fortune teller sitting down there, nice looking young lady. She's called me and said, say, do you know there's a light following you? You were born under a certain sign. You see all these things that happen to us in our lives. And the devil and our human reasoning kick in and say, but hey, these people are telling me that God's not pleased with me. And these people possessed of the devil are telling me that they can see I'm born. There's a light that's following me. Imagine the confusion you'll be in, friends. The prophet was in a confusion. He was scared. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's only the truth that can make you free. And the truth only comes from the burning bush. That's the only truth you need, is what the burning bush is going to speak to you. And she said, you know, there's a light that follows you. You were born under a certain sign. You were born for a divine call. I said, get away from me, woman. Then the preacher saying, that's the devil. That's the devil. They had me believing it. Oh, friends. That's why I said the only true communion is communion of the soul. The communion of the mind isn't going to help you. Other people's opinions, other people's interpretations, other people's ways. Don't worry about those kind of things. Let him speak to you. The one who called you is the one who comes to make your call clear. And that's how the prophet says, don't let anybody ever get in that pulpit. Don't run for spiritual things until you've had a burning bush experience.
Amen.
Because friends, I've seen it and anybody knows, if you don't have that, if God doesn't reveal it personally to you, you'll give up. You'll never make it through, friends. There's too many disappointments. There's too many misunderstandings. There's too many things you're not going to understand. There's too many things that are going to happen that you didn't want to happen.
Amen.
And when Moses went the first time before he met the burning bush with all of the mind communion, yeah, that he had had with his mother and all the things people had told him and reasoned him into believing his call, when now the opposition came, it didn't help him.
Amen.
And he went back there, backside of the desert. He ran away from the very people that he was sent to help, to deliver. But when he met the burning bush, nothing could turn him around. Doesn't matter all the power that Pharaoh had, all of Pharaoh's armies, nothing could move this man from his call. But can you see that the burning bush experience, it's not just an emotion. Because we've had lots of emotions. The prophet had a lot of experiences before this, but never understood his divine purpose. Nothing ever brought everything together to make it clear to him. Until he had this burning bush experience. That's why it's such an important thing. And the preachers were saying, it's the devil, they had me believing it. And then that night when he referred to that, I said, well, why is it that them mediums and things, them devil-possessed people, always tell me about it? and the clergy, my brethren, tell me it's an evil spirit. He says, now listen to what he said. That same one who's hanging there in the picture. He said, as it was then, so is it now. That's lovely.
Amen.
Lovely. When the Lord comes and reveals it, and you can find yourself in the Word. And all of a sudden, these things that are happening to you now, He reveals, it's as it was then. And that sets you free. That sets you free because you've seen your name under the seal. It's personally revealed to you. Oh, I'm there. I've got my place. I've got my call. I've got my position before the Lord. That's what you need. It says, as it was then, so is it now. And he began to refer to me when the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ began to take place. The minister said, he's Beelzebub, the devil. But the devil said, he's the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. He says, but we get so soured down on theology. That's why, friends, we can take message quotes. But if it's not soul communion, it's theology. We can take scriptures. What is theology? They've taken scripture, God's word, but it's not soul communion. It's not revealed word. Then it becomes theology. And why did we have all the problems in the message? It's theology. People took quotes. People took promises from the message. It wasn't yet God's time. Wasn't his season. The people ran with it like Thutis and Judas before Jesus came. And in the end, they said it was great revival. In the end, it just was theology. And it just caused a confusion and division and all the things that took place. Oh, friends, that's what the prophet says. It's the burning bush experience. That's the thing that's needed. Brother George Martin was telling me, and Brother Lubanza, I won't mention the name of the brother, but you'll know him from South Africa. He's a minister from South Africa who fights everybody else in the world. He's got a very big church. And then his wife died a few months back. And his wife, she got so filled with divine love. Just before she died, suddenly she died, I think in a car accident. And she went the day, 2 days before she died, she was phoning all the people. They'd been fighting against everybody in the message in South Africa. And she phoned and she made things right. And she told her husband, she said, I just feel so full of love. And then she died the next day. And it so shook this minister. And Brother Lubanza was at the minister's meeting in Africa. And that minister came now. I think he's been maybe 40-something years a message minister. And he stood in the pulpit and he said, saints, I've been in this message. I've been preaching this message. I've got a church with thousands of people. But I've only realized now, I was never converted.
Hallelujah.
He said, I never had love. Friends, that's a serious thing.
Amen.
Let's not run too far.
Amen.
And then realize down the way that we ran. And like Paul says, no, we beat the air and all the different things that we do. And then you have to backtrack after all that time. Rather, let's call a halt. Get into our stomping grounds and speak to him that dwells in the burning bush and say, Lord, I want to do it properly from the beginning. You're going to have to reveal it to me. And let there be a burning bush communion before we make these decisions in life, before we make these far-reaching things that can affect us and affect other people, our families and other people. It's better we spend time at the burning bush. Coming to a close. He says, we get so soured down on theology until we know nothing about the Spirit. He says, I hope you love me after this. Just shouting and dancing around doesn't mean you know anything about the Spirit. It's personal contact. Face to face. That's what you need. Because he's speaking from experience. He knew the fear he was going through. He knew the confusion. He knew how the mind games. He knew how he was praying against the will of God. What made the difference is when he came real close.
Amen.
He says, and I looked in his face and it was real pleasant. Now friends, we're not all called like the prophet like that. But in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual realm, let him draw right near to your soul. Let him draw right near to those sacred sands where he deals with his people before he sends them out. And let him come and speak into your situation.
Amen.
Let him come and make clear the things that are not clear. Let him come and shine light where there's shadows and darkness and suspicions and concerns and misunderstandings. Don't just try to push on. No, it's not going to get better. No, it's better to say, Lord, please. I want to serve you with all, like the prophet. I don't want to spend all my life and then find I was serving the devil. That's what the prophet was saying. I love the Lord Jesus. I want to serve him the right way. And the Lord looked and says, now you're in the right condition. And then down came the man to turn on the light. And he came and he made it clear to the prophet. He says, it's personal contact, face to face. That's what you need. That's the kind of church God's fixing to raise up.
Amen.
That's right. When they come together in unity and power in the Spirit. Oh, that face to face. And he referred to that. And he told me how the ministry misunderstood it in the days of Jesus. And he assured me that the ministry had misunderstood it. And when other people are saying things against you, about you, and then he comes to you and says, don't worry, they don't understand.
Amen.
You're not going to worry about what those people say anymore.
Amen.
But until he comes and tells you, friends, you're going to listen and say, but hey, maybe these people are right. Yeah, maybe I'm doing this and doing that, but maybe God doesn't want me to do these things. That's how the prophet said, it's the burning bush experience.
Amen.
What you lack, the burning bush has it.
Amen.
Whatever it is, that deep that's inside of you. And I said, well, what about these things that happens to me? And he said, that'll multiply and get greater and greater. So you pray and say, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until you take these things away from me. I'm not going to be a deacon anymore. Yeah, I'm not going to be pastor anymore. I'm going to the Lord. I'm telling the Lord. And you say, Lord, I've made up my mind. I'm not leaving until you tell me I can stop being pastor. And he says, my friend, you're going to have a lot more people than that. Imagine if he says that. You're a deacon. He says, oh, my friend, it's going to get greater than that. That's what he did to the prophet. The prophet went there to say, I don't want these things anymore. And the angel told him, it's going to get greater and greater. Because this is what you are raised up for. Ah, friends, the burning bush is the answer. It really and truly is the answer. He says, that'll multiply and get greater and greater. And he referred to me, telling me how Jesus did it. Possessed with a power that could foreknow things and tell the woman at the well and claim not to be a healer, only did things as his father showed him. Why do you think the prophet would always use those scriptures?
That's right.
Those became foundational scriptures.
Amen.
As he went into the battlefield, because they were personally revealed to him by the burning bush, that these scriptures pertain to you. And he saw himself in those scriptures. That's why you would always use it. Jesus would say, I do nothing until my Father first shows me. Like those were personal, precious things that had delivered him and helped him to understand his calling. That's why he had always used those kind of things. And I said, what kind of spirit would that be? He said, it's the Holy Spirit. The prophet didn't realize that was the Holy Spirit. Those visions and all those things. He wasn't believing those people who told him it was the devil. Friend, that is a deliverance. That is when truth delivers you at the burning bush. Then he finishes off. He says, then something happened inside of me. Something happened inside of me. And I realized the very thing that I turned my back on was what God had brought me here for. The devil's cunning, friends. That's how the prophet says, you've got to know that you're called. Otherwise, you'll be defeated. The devil will tell you you're not called, though you're called. And what is the antidote? What's the remedy? The only remedy, go to him who gave you the call. And let him personally speak with that voice that you know and tell you, don't worry what he says or she says, you're called. Then it doesn't matter all the devils in hell what they say. You've heard from him.
Amen.
You've heard from the man who can turn on the light.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what the devil's going to do. Do you think the people could tell the prophet after that those visions of the devil? He would say, you're joking. That's your theology. That's your mind realm that's operating there. But I've had communion in my soul. I've had communion in my soul where he came and stepped with me onto those sacred sands of my own experience with him. And he shone light and showed me personally himself what he expected of me. Why he allowed me to be born where I was. Why I had to go through the things I had to go through. Why I was an outcast. Why the other children didn't understand. Why when I wanted to put the cigarette in my mouth, it came that the wind. Why when my father's friend called me a sissy and I wanted to drink the alcohol and I put the bottle to my lips, there came that wind. And I went away crying, saying, why can't I be like other children? All of a sudden, with communion at the burning bush, that experience, he understood it all.
Amen.
Now he could come and tell his life story properly now. He never tells his life story in the 1930s very much. He doesn't. It needed 1946, May the 7th in the Cape. Then after that, he could come now. When he goes out, 48, 49, he starts telling in the message Moses and all those other ones. He starts telling his life story. Because it was clear now. He could find it in the scriptures. He could find it in the will of God. Everything now made sense to him. So now he could go forth because he had been in communion at the burning bush. He says, something happened inside. And I realized that's what God brought me here for. And I realized that just like those Pharisees in days gone by, they had misinterpreted the scriptures to me. Yes. People misinterpret a lot of things to us. Friends, I'm not in any way saying we don't need each other because, friends, the burning bush dwells inside of his people now as well. You know? I'm not taking it away from that. I'm not saying, but I'm saying it must be soul communion. Because if it's not soul communion, people will talk you out of the will of God. People will reason you away from the very thing that God wants you to do. But there's people God has put you together with in this life. Your names are together in the same section of the book of life. You've been gathered with your people. Those people, when they're in the spirit, the deep inside of them is going to minister to the deep that's inside of you. And they will help you along until you have that burning bush experience for yourself. He says, something happened inside of me. So, from then on, I took my own interpretation of the scriptures. What the Holy Spirit said.
Hallelujah.
And I told him, I'll go.
Amen.
And he said, I'll be with you.
Amen.
Oh, friends.
Amen.
Because the man came and turned on the light. There was no more darkness, no more objections. There was nothing anything else the prophet could put his foot on. It was clear. It was like Moses now.
Amen.
The prophet says nothing could stop Moses from going to Egypt now.
Right.
Nothing could stop the prophet going out now. It was the burning bush experience.
Amen.
He says, and the angel stepped into the light again and began to come around and around and around and around. And his feet went like that, went into the light, and he went out of the building. And I went home a new person.
Amen.
The burning bush makes you a new person, friends.
Amen.
That's what makes you a new person. You go home a new person. Imagine how he slept that night. Imagine when he got in his bed. Oh, friends, having had that communion,
amen,
having had that personal communion on those sacred sands with the one who created him, raised him up, had been watching over him, had called him, had predestined and foreordained him to this calling, and had now revealed how he must go forth. Ah, friends, he was a new man. Don't you want to be a new man?
Amen.
Don't you want to be a new woman? You may be perplexed. You may be in those. We get regularly onto those ash heaps, the prophet says. Don't allow people to influence you that kind of time. Be careful. Bring yourself into the presence of the burning bush. Listen how the prophet finishes it now in the message, faith. He says, one day on the backside of the desert, Moses was herding his father-in-law's sheep, and he met God in a burning bush, the supernatural. And in 5 minutes in the presence of that supernatural being, he was better equipped than all the wisdom Egypt could give him. 5 minutes before, he was a running coward. But after that experience of being in the presence and knowing that the God of the Hebrews lived, he acted different from then on. And that's why you can always tell when someone has had that kind of experience. Because they act different from then on.
Amen.
And I've actually got a quote here. I don't know if I have it on hand, but the prophet actually says that he says, it's these kind of people that we need. Because when the battle gets hot, they don't leave the front line.
Amen.
When things get hard in church, they'll be there. Because they know their call. They know their post of duty. They know what they've been raised up for. They'll be there. They're not fair weather Christians, fair weather believers. They're not Demas has forsaken me in your hour of need. They're Timothy. He's like-minded. He's of the same soul as me. That's what it means. That's the kind of believer he wants. As we come to communion this evening, let's remember this. That even as he shed his blood, even as his body was broken to purchase our redemption, to purchase our salvation, to redeem us back unto himself. Ah, friends, let's remember, it doesn't finish there. It doesn't finish there. It finishes as we continue to walk in the light. As he is in the light. And then his blood continually cleanses us and we have fellowship one with another. But friends, it's got to be a regular occurrence. It's not something you can rest on that happened years ago. Now, each and every one of us, you know where you are. We need that ministration from the burning bush to take us from where we are and to move us on to the next stage inside of our calling. Let's stand. Let's sing one song since before we come to communion. Communion with the burning bush. Now, it's a sweet scripture when you read that scripture. And you think of Moses coming into the presence of the burning bush. Ah, friends, what a defining moment in that man's life. That was something that he could always point back to. Whenever the devil would come and Pharaoh would get angry and things would go bad and he'd put more labor upon the children of Israel, it seemed things weren't working. Moses could wind back.
Amen.
To that absolute, that burning bush that had spoken to him and he'd know, no. I press on.
Amen.
Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I
Oh, be still.
Let's submit our wills to him once again. Let's confess every negative thought, Let's give him his position and his sovereignty once again before we come to the communion.
He that waited upon the Lord shall renew his strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not fear. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to
ourselves before the Lord. Oh Father, I bring myself and
Father, thank you, Lord, and I just want to sing to you. Indeed, unto me, according to my heart. I just want to sing to the English. Father, what is the difference? Father, I want to sing to the English. Father, my God,
Father, we want to commit this communion up unto you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for bread. We thank you for wine. We thank you for what they mean, Lord. That we've come to remember your
Amen.
Death even upon this night. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. Father, even as the sisters were singing, Lord, this is your body that was broken for us.
Amen.
And as we take it, Lord, we do remember you.
Amen.
This is your blood that was shed for us, Lord. Father, the blood of our redemption. And Lord, we just want to hide ourselves under the blood now. We just want the purpose that you redeemed us.
Hallelujah.
For. Make it more clear, Lord.
Please.
In each and every one of our lives. And quicken us.
Please.
to fulfill your divine purpose. Amen. May you bless the bread, bless the wine. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Saints, let's open a scripture for communion. Let's open Matthew 26 again. I know the scriptures very well for communion. From verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." May the Lord bless the communion. Let's sing as we break the bread.
Sister Lillian, come sing for us that song, please.
Amen.
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 Maybe we'll join in the chorus.
Amen. Amen.
On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me. This is my body, broken for you, and as you eat it, remember." He took the cup. Upon giving thanks, he sucked it and said, "This is my blood poured out for you, and as you drink it, remember me. Water and began to wash their feet. "This is my body, broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me. This is my body, broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you, and as you drink it, remember me. Drink it. is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord death till he comes. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord death till he comes. This is my body broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me. This is my body broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you. And as you drink it, remember me.
Hallelujah. Issue with our foot washing this evening. We don't have enough towels. Somebody took the towels home to wash them and they're not here tonight. So we have only three towels. But it's okay.
Three. What a number.
So we give two to the sisters. We prefer our sisters. The brothers will have to share one towel. So I'm sure we'll be able to get by fine enough. Anything that's done in the spirit, it doesn't matter. It still becomes a blessing. If you have to worship in the catacombs, it'll still be good. If you have to worship in a storehouse like Azusa Street, as long as the Lord is there, it's still a blessing. So we don't mind about that. John chapter 13, let's read about washing feet. Let's read from verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We were singing about it in that song. If I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. May the Lord bless us as we wash one another's feet. Let the sisters come this side, brothers that side, and God bless you.
Creating me a clean heart.
Yeah. Brother Max, would you close for us, please, Brother Max, after that song? Please. God bless you, saints. Thanks for coming. Nice time in communion service. Really was blessed by that song, sister. That song must become a regular something. It was a real blessing.
In your praises, that's where I am strong. In your praises, oh Lord, my God. In your praises, that's where I am strong. Seeking your face, touching your grace. In that cleft of the rock,
in that cleft, my Lord,
in your presence, oh God, I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on the ground,
where they on the ground.
Presence, oh God,
in your presence,
in your presence, that's where I am strong.
I'm strong
in your presence, oh Lord,
my God,
in your presence, that's where I am seeking your face. Lift up the rock,
oh my rock,
in your presence, oh Lord.
I want to hide,
I want to hide, where the flood of evil cannot reach me, where I'm covered by
the blood. I'm covered by the blood, I want to be.
Schemes of darkness cannot touch me.
Oh, in your presence, oh Lord, oh Lord, in your presence,
in your presence, that's where I am strong.
I'm strong
in your presence,
in your presence, oh Lord,
my
God, in your presence.
Let's sing it once again, oh.
In your presence,
in your presence,
that's where I belong.
I'm strong in your presence,
oh Lord,
my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Oh,
seeking your face,
seeking your face.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's nothing greater than, Lord, to be in your presence, O God. Oh, there's no other better place, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, how we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Even as the psalmist said it, how true it is. That one thing I desired of the Lord.
Amen.
And will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
All the days of my life. And to behold his beauty. And to inquire unto his temple. Oh Lord, we thank you of the truth, Lord Jesus. We came to your presence this evening. And how, Lord Jesus, we have been blessed, Lord. Father, we came in here, Lord, with many questions upon our hearts, many questions on our thoughts, all because, Lord, our communion was in the mind. And we have been asking ourselves, why this, why that, Lord? But Lord, in your presence, Lord, this evening, we have received the answer. Oh, in the burning bush. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God. And Father, even from tonight, Lord, we are going to our stomping grounds and pray through until, Lord, we have come to our burning bush, oh, to receive our answer. And even, Lord, tonight, oh, we believe our answer has already been offered us, oh God. Oh, we thank you, we bless you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the message. So great, Lord. And Father, we have now, Lord, oh, come away from our communion, oh, in the mind. Now our communion is in the soul, in your presence, Lord. We will seek day and night, oh, all the days of our lives. We thank you, we bless you, Lord, oh, for this wonderful message that we have heard tonight. It has lifted us up, Lord. It has made us to know why. And now we got the answer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, tonight, as we have you have assured us, Lord, we are going to our stomping grounds. We are going to pray through. Yes, Lord, to seek the answer. In everything, the Lord, we have always been tossed up and down. But Lord, we know that, Lord Jesus, our answer, oh, has already been offered us. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. Lord, there were requests here, yes, this night. Our sister, Shida, and our little girl, the name, Tabitha, Lord Jesus. And that request also that comes from another place, Lord. We lift up all these requests before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Knowing that, Lord, the request came through faith, Lord. And we also have lifted up our faith, Lord. And Father, together, as your word says, by the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, your word will be established. And so, Lord, we believe that, oh God, healing has already taken place. And that, Lord Jesus, our little girl who is going on this operation, oh Lord, it is not the hands of man, but your very hands upon her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, oh yes, we Hallelujah. Thank you, we bless you. What a joy we have received tonight. Amen. And Father, we thank you for our pastor, Lord. Yes. Oh Lord, bless him. Yes. Oh Lord, anoint him. Amen. Father, let him come more and more, Lord Jesus, to lift up the church through your word, oh God. And Father, we commit his family into your hands. That, Lord Jesus, you bless the family also. And Father, oh Lord, all the children in this house, in the name of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, they will grow in your presence, Lord. Father, we thank you. Give the parents the wisdom also, Lord, to bring them up, Lord. Father, tonight, having come to your table, Lord, we thank you, the Lord Jesus, you washed us and made us worthy, Lord, to be partakers of the table. Father, we thank you for the table, the Lord Jesus, you invited us. And Lord, we are going, oh God, with all the blessings you have given to us. And the Lord Jesus, we ask for journey mercies once again, that as you brought us in, Lord, take us back again. And Father, even we commit, Lord, oh Sunday, if you tarry, Lord, we want to continue in this same spirit again. Even lifting us up higher and higher for us to catch all glimpse of glorious bright, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, we commit Sunday also into your hands. The Lord, even our brethren, as many that weren't here, Lord, we commit all of them to your hands. That wherever they are, you are the omnipresent God. Father, touch them well. The blessing we have received, O Lord, let it be their portion also. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, once again, we say we thank you. Now our communion will be in the soul. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In the blessed name of our Lord, we give all the glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing one as we dismiss. God bless saints. Meet you on Sunday by the grace of God. Amen.
Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not thy will, Lord, but thy be done. Thy be done. When I do it, Lord, when I do it, it's Jesus, I want to die, you must live, known and new in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you, and all I want to say is your face. Oh, thy will be done, thy will, Lord. Must decrease this year on Calvary, the price no longer remains. I will, Lord, I will be when I do the Lord, when I do good, ever's praise. In God's presence, I'm a peace. Oh, Jesus, I want to die, you must live. The word is grace to me. I won't let you go till you bless me. Take a barrier until I'm free. Thy will, Lord, thy will be done.